from the heart of Europe to the world. RTI.
BW to his friends. Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pot Pratt. And we've got our London correspondent-ish-esque on the line again. It's our Harry. And he's got an interesting project coming up, which is kind of going to fly in the face of... Normally, it's the old people that do the research and come up with the answers. But this time, the kids are going to get to have their say. Hi, Harry. How are you doing?
Hi, Eric. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Now, tell me about this initiative where the kids are going to talk... about what they think about the games and the, dare I say, the ghoul and ghouly and all the other bits that they may or may not like.
Sure. Well, what we're doing is we hear a lot about the debate about, you know, children are too young to be playing some video games, which is completely true when, you know, they're rated 18. So a lot of games are designed for kids, and we're working on a game called Chimpact for a company called Yippie Entertainment. And what we wanted to do is actually get the game in the hands of the kids and hear what they think, because the debate is all about what children should be playing, but has anyone actually listened to what they've got to say?
Well, that's kind of true, isn't it? Yeah,
exactly.
Let's make a new motor car, but we won't talk to the driver first.
Exactly, yeah, that kind of thing.
Flipping marvellous. So where is it, what is it, and who's doing what?
Well, it's taking place in Bromley with a youth group called Baseline. So what we're going to go down and do is take a few photos, maybe record something for the news on the radio, and hopefully film as well.
Was that a subtle hint?
Yeah.
Are you going to...
Not subtle enough.
No, right, go on then.
So, yeah, we're going to go down, ask them a few questions, what they think about Chimpact, the game for Windows that we're working on. But then we're going to broaden the debate out to, you know, hearing what they think about age ratings and, you know, what games they're playing and whether they prefer playing kids games designed for kids, or if they want to play adult games, or if they're just happy to have games sort of specifically designed for them.
But I understand this group actually does train kids in how to be aware of the correct games and gaming sites, rather than just throwing them in at the deep end. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. They're very, you know, we say kids, but these guys ranging from sort of, you know, young kids from about 8 years old up to people in their teenage years. So some are a lot more savvy and also able to use games aimed at older age groups. So we're hoping to get a sort of broad look at the landscape of what, you know, the kids that are out there and the games that are available to them. Mm. And they are very savvy, so they do know what they should and shouldn't be playing, as the youth group are very good at sort of regulating that kind of thing.
All right. Well, that's kind of interesting, because we get all the old duffers all the time telling us what we shouldn't do. They don't actually do anything, and I blame the government here as well for that. But this is an organisation that is actually taking that to the grassroots, really, and working with kids, yeah?
Well, you know, you look at youth clubs across the country, they've been closing them down for years now, the government, and, you know, if we're so disconnected from the youth and they've got nowhere to go and nothing to do, and then we complain that they play too much video games, I mean, that's another debate as well, is you know, we're not giving the kids a chance to play and to be kids as much as we used to, but then we're expecting them not to play video games, which is such a modern entertainment technology that they're all so used to using. It's, well, you know, what other options are we giving them?
Yeah, I'll tell you what it smacks of to me. It's rather, well, far too young for you to remember. I'm gonna drag you back to the 1970s now. And then, right, as we came out of the back end of the 70s and into the 80s, it was a standing joke. You'd have a video recorder in the house, but the parents always had the children program it for them, because mm-hmm. they didn't understand the word being understand the technology. And I think we're kind of at the same place now when it gets to gaming and tech with youngsters, aren't we?
Yeah, I think, well, definitely. I mean, you know, with the rise of the computer being in schools, you know, they were introduced during my educational years, but the technology they're using now is completely different, especially from an older age group. Often those who protest against video games for kids is something to do with the lack of understanding. You know, we've got age restrictions there for a reason. You know, if it's an 18 rated game, then obviously it's not suitable for children, just like the film industry. But games for some reason are treated as a different entertainment medium, and I think some of the older generations were used to those games that came out in the 70s and 80s, which were, you know, very simple, basic types of games. Very simple and very basic. But games have moved on a tremendous amount since then, where, you know, you've got almost film-like graphics and gore, which are obviously not suitable for children, but you know, maybe there should be tighter restrictions on trying to stop the kids playing them, but maybe that should be part of the parents' role as well, to make sure that the games aren't getting in the hands of the kids.
Yeah, exactly. Don't use it as an unpaid babysitter.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, listen, mate, all joking apart, I'd love to hear have a word with the kids that you're talking to. I'd love to hear their views. So if you'd be our correspondent, we'll do that. And let's let the old people know what the young people think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I'll do that. I'll make sure to get a few, ask a few questions where we can hear what the actual people most affected.
Indeed. Great initiative, Harry. Thanks ever so much for joining us. Cheers, mate.
Thanks, Eric.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.
Harry, that was just amazing. Thank you very much indeed. Sorry you had to run off. And I just think that is a superb initiative. Forget the government going in there. Forget anybody else going in there. It's, you know, a manufacturer of kits going into a youth group with about 200 people, I'm now told, because I've just asked the question, boys and girls, to actually get into this debate about games, educate them safely on using games and equipment. I think that is a marvellous initiative, and I look forward to the comments from the children, the people that really count. No.
Oh, sorry.
We're all big kids. We're actually going to get to the root of the young people and get their views, and we're going to put them on the radio.
I think it's really cool.
Yeah, lovely. Thinking about time as well. Somebody dropped me writing it earlier on by going, you can get cheap forms there, when we got it on the script, boys and girls. But never mind. As part of this part two of the programme, we're going to try and save you a few pennies if we can. And it's nice to see that even though they were struggling at one point, and I've said this on the programme, Nokia will come back. And I've said it so many times. And not only have they come back with the sales of smartphones and doing really well, but they've even managed to get this. And I watched the interview with the CEO about it, and he was quite honest about it. He said, this is not a 2013 state-of-the-art, and I'm paraphrasing, telephone. It is a telephone. It's what it does. It just does text and phones. That's it. It's not a smartphone, and it's not designed to be for somebody who needs a smartphone. It's designed for somebody who just wants a phone.
Does anybody really need a smartphone?
Yes.
Who needs a smartphone?
Me.
I don't need a smartphone.
They're
a complete waste of time. This idea here is perfect. You should stop knocking Nokia. Nokia are a good company
who do things properly.
Yeah, but the Nokia now are saying that we are going to turn out a phone that makes phone calls. Brilliant. That's what you want a phone to do.
Yeah, smartphones are very, very important, and lots of people do need them. But this is what Nokia was always good at, wasn't it? Nokia was always good at making a phone that you could do anything with. And I have to say that my Nokia phones took the knocks. And but they did, you know. There you are. There's a slogan. Nokia ought to be using that. I think people need a rugged phone. My kids need a rugged phone. And you know, if Nokia are going to go back and do what they're good at, then that's good on them.
It could be a bit.
A lot of us had our first phones were, you know, just the Nokias.
No, I agree. Yeah, I suppose it's like, do we remember pagers and how useless they were?
Eric, do you remember what happened to my Nokia phone?
You dropped it in the bath and it worked.
I dropped it in the phone. I dried it on the fire and it melted. I threw it up in the air when I stood on a nail. It flew 30 feet up in the air, crashed down behind a van. I stood on the back of it. It fitted back together and within seconds it was working. That's what I call a phone.
Yeah, I'm not knocking it. But
don't knock Nokia.
Don't knock Nokia.
But I still think certain. I mean, for example, and I have to be careful how I say this. Part of my day job is looking after a number of servers. Now, if they go wrong, and I happen to be in a different country,
it's in a cafe, ladies and gentlemen,
and I happen to be in a different country when they go wrong, the last thing I want is to sit there with an SMS on my phone going, "That server's gone down, Eric." Get frustrated, get annoyed. You can't do anything about it. With a smartphone, I can. I can fix the problem by anywhere, as long as I've got some form of connection or a 3G connection, I can do the repair from anywhere on the planet. Now, that suits me in my job. It doesn't necessarily mean everybody needs. And it always makes me laugh when you see these guys in the City of London, where they've all got the latest gadget. And I swear to God, half of them don't know what the flipping thing does.
They just use it for Facebook.
Well, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. But I do applaud Nokia for that, and I think it's a wonderful initiative, and I hope it works out. And just to prove the point, it's not just Nokia, as we try and keep a balance here, because Tesco's are selling the Samsung E120, a black version, for £9.
Really? Brand
new.
Very good, isn't it?
It is good. Yeah. It doesn't.
They make it out of horseshoes.
I mean, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles of, you know, my HTC, I think Lee and Mark use Samsung. Rachel's an Apple.
My hubby uses Samsung.
Does he?
Does he?
Yeah, and the Galaxy Note. He uses all of his stuff Samsung.
Oh, there you go, you see.
But it's good. But that £10 phone is exactly what really you need. And that's the one, going right back to the original, the first story about the one you keep in your car. There's the one to keep in your car, and you save yourself 40, 50 quid.
Maybe.
So the whole premise of this programme has been rubbish.
No, it's trying to get you to... What I'm trying to do here is say to people, don't believe the headline stories. Look beyond them, and the next...
Excuse me. The other premise of this programme is we're talking about the stories that don't get in the press.
Exactly.
So I tell people not to believe the headline.
Because the headline stories are only about the big, most expensive early adopter kit. And I'll prove my point now with, you know, a flat screen, full HD, LED, Freeview built-in television, 22-inch...
£210 from the co-op.
£108.
By 36-inch.
There you go. This is £108. You don't have to spend more to get all these wonderful things with television on it, with the modern TVs. You get radio on it as well. It's got all the other bits and pieces in it. It's got SCART connectors. It's got HDMI connectors on it. Even got a USB socket so you can watch your movies from your USB stick. For £108?
How long will it last?
The same as the rest of them, mate. Half the stuff is all made from half a dozen factories. One well-known high street brand, which is probably one of the most expensive. Their flat-screen monitors are made in Poland. Not in their factory in Slovakia.
All right.
Yeah, so, and it's the same when you buy computer RAM. Yes, there are categories of bronze, silver and gold, but the fact is there's only a handful of factories around the world that make the RAM that goes into your computers. So it doesn't matter whether it's Samsung or Asus or whatever, the RAM is coming from the same sources. Simple as that. So don't get caught on the brand name issue as well. Very, very, very true point. And the next thing I'm going to come on to save yourself a few, Bob, and I know Mark's touched this on this before.
Yeah.
You don't always have to buy the latest kit. And in actual fact, half the time, you're making a big mistake when you buy the latest kit because you're paying for the research and development in the purchase price, aren't you, Mark?
Yeah. Yeah, you are. I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting the thing a little bit older.
Give me the example of your kids and that. What was the game? Was it the game or the phones or something?
I feel very embarrassed. I'm skimping on my kids, really, but there we are.
No, you're not. You're being sensible.
They started off their console life, their games life, with, I can't remember what they're called now. What are they? Nintendo DS.
PlayStation.
DS.
Oh, the DS.
Oh, DS. Yeah.
And I just couldn't run to them, actually. They are poor little bugger I am. And, oops, I said poor. And And so I ended up buying the bits on eBay.
Right.
And built them together and replaced, and you know, replaced parts and this sort of thing. Kept them going for about 4 years. The kids were very pleased. It was great.
Nothing wrong with that.
But that's actually being sensible, isn't it? Recycling.
Yeah, and that was in between darning their socks and mending their underwear.
Putting new candles in the bedroom.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But you don't.
You were out doing this. You were doing this while they were walking 5 miles to school in the snow with no shoes.
Well, I do actually darn their socks, if you want to know, and I do repair their clothes.
Yeah, right.
I certainly do.
Do you really?
I absolutely do.
Little mark on the prairie.
Well, we are.
Well, I suppose, yeah. I know where you're coming from, because I've got a reputation in the company for being the computer recycler.
No, yeah. You've got a reputation in the company for stitching people up.
No, being a recycler. And the fact is, people in offices close to me now, or when I go to, if I go to the UK or something, they will say, oh, we've got this, do you want it? Otherwise, it goes in the bin. And 9 times out of 10, I'll use it.
Yeah.
Rather than buy new.
Yeah.
And in fact, the computer I'm using as my auto cue today is at least 8 years old. And it still works.
Yeah.
Well, we can hear you. It must work.
Well, I'm on a different one for that one, but that's a couple of years old as well. Uh-huh. So all I'm saying is, when you're looking at the tech that you think you need, things first, get a pen and paper.
That actually is a good thing. Pen and paper.
What's a pen and paper? What is that?
Computer.
Yes. Or as I said to somebody.
Pen and paper.
Or as I said to somebody the other day, I'm just writing down on a pineapple. He said, what do you mean you're writing down on a pineapple? I said, I can't find any paper. But the point is, write down what you want the tech to do for you on a bit of paper, and then look at the marketplace. Don't make the marketplace fit you. You've got to say, okay, that's what I want. I only need to spend that. I don't need a computer that costs $2,500 because I don't happen to be a games designer.
No.
So it's supply and demand. People should demand.
Exactly, but we don't.
Well, we should. Let's stamp our feet.
And the waste is just enormous. So just do yourselves a favour, everybody. Think about what you're doing. You don't always have to buy new tech. Often you can get such good bargains from especially the independent computer shops. Not the Main Street ones, but the independent guys who do sell on second-hand kit. They probably care and understand how the computer works, which is more than the case in high street shops. And so they will have fixed it up before they sell it on to you. And you will get amazing bargains in there. And you can get your kids computing for very little money. Because the last thing you want to do is buy your 5-year-old a brand-new laptop on day one. Give them something. It doesn't matter if it breaks. It costs £50. Okay, it's sorted. You know, no worries. So just think of the other way around.
Another great thing about saving money, too, when you get a bargain like that, when you get a really good bargain, you also walk away with this really smug satisfaction.
Yes.
So it's a 2-for-1, really.
And actually, Mr. Banks did that this week.
What did I do?
You had your smug, I nearly said the B word, voice on when you got something delivered to your house.
My 1923 leather couch.
Yes.
Incredible style and elegance that I bought for £60 from a sale room.
Yes.
Gangnam style.
Gangnam style, yes.
Yeah.
So you got
a
bargain for £60, which you reckon is valued at about £1,000, and you had a smug tone in your voice.
Yeah, what's that got to do with high tech?
You save money and you get to have that really nice smug feeling.
Exactly,
absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Yeah,
exactly. I love
buying
that.
Things for nothing is just the way that the world should feel about things. And, but unfortunately, we don't get that very often, do we? We just get ripped off and stitched up all the time. What you're saying, Eric, is right.
But the point is with technology, the bit about technology, and I'm going to get flamed for this, there are people who queue up when Apple bring out new equipment. There are people.
Yeah, they can't overnight. Like going to a Star Wars movie, which is really tragic.
And then they sell their old equipment off for peanuts. And you can actually get the most amazing bargain from the early adopter brigade.
Well, there are second-hand shops. When you used to get second-hand shops that sold furniture and things like that, now all the second-hand shops are selling now is electrical stuff.
Technology
is the phrase.
That's the word. That was the word you were struggling for, wasn't it?
Well, it's not electric, in it.
True. But, you know, you can use all of those. The bugs rind out of them. They're often very good value for money. You get, if it's a games console, you often get the games with them. And you'll pay the price of one game for the new box, whereas you get the console and a dozen or so games in the second-hand shop, because somebody has to get the latest Nintendo DS U Wii something or other.
You've just given me a very good idea.
What?
Because my poor machine, my beautiful grey machine, is now kaput.
Yes.
I might buy a second-hand one to replace it and just get them to transfer all the stuff.
There you go. You see, we've solved your problem.
That's what this show is about.
Funny that.
Yes.
Now let's try another little story on you, boys and girls. I know I'm annoying you, but here we go. Man comes and puts the internet in your house with a little wireless hub. And you go to one room, not in every house, but in lots of houses, and your laptop doesn't get the wireless signal. So
this is another fallacy.
No, it's not. You say to little man, how much will it cost to put a plug in that room? And he goes, oh, I don't know, Governor. Oh, it's going to be a day's work. £90, I should think, at least, yes. £90.
That's offensive to people who talk like that.
Well, do you know somebody who talks like that?
His mother.
Stop it. No, she doesn't. Dorothy hit him. So the solution is, if you've got houses like this, there is tech out there that will get your internet via the mains electricity from point A to point B for a lot less than you'd have to pay for an installer to run a cable through your house that looks unsightly in the first place. It will cost you a hell of a lot of money and doesn't do a better job anyway. And this sort of technology is around. It's been around for years, years and years and years. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, boys and girls, it's called Netricity. And you can plug one of these devices, it looks a bit like an oversized plug, into your electricity point near your router. You can plug a plug into it. You can put the other one in another room where the wireless doesn't get to, and instantly you've got internet access. And you don't have the wires everywhere. It's simple, but nobody talks about it.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I got one. Not Netricity, but another brand, which is 200 megabytes per second, which is the one that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it works very, very well. And in fact, I was looking at exactly these sort of things.
Which brand have you got then?
Netgear,
that's another good brand, absolutely.
Netgear. But in fact, I now find that, I can't remember what the brand is, but Belkin
are now doing
them. Well,
200 megabytes per second is now a very, very old hat. And in fact, but I think that they're about sort of 34 quid. I don't know what that is in any other body's money. But you can now get a Belkin one that will run at 1,000 megabytes per second, in other words, a gigabit. And that's 74 quid.
And if you plug
I reckon is fantastic, because if you're into streaming video and all the rest of the stuff around your house, that's where you want to go.
And you don't need any wires and no man to knock holes in everywhere to get it there in the first place.
None of it at all. No,
yes, great. I have the height of technology for this thing anyway.
What?
And do you remember those cords that used to be attached to phones when they were real phones? They were spiral cords that used to whip also. Well, I have one of those that cost me 75p.
Yeah.
That goes around all the wires and makes them look neat. So you can have wires you don't need. And also, in my 300-year-old house with two or 2 feet thick walls, my Wi-Fi goes around to all 20 rooms in it without any problems at all. So again, we're actually solving the problem for somebody, just for the odd person who has that problem.
I don't agree. There's lots of people that have that problem with Wi-Fi.
I've sat outside and done programs on somebody else's Wi-Fi.
I know.
So it's not a major problem. You said if you went and sat in your shed, you could have Wi-Fi. I've sat in my car and had Wi-Fi.
But, Mark, you didn't have the internet in a room to work sufficiently, so you got round it without any wires, didn't you?
That has been... Oh, you mean with my...
yes.
You're talking... Oh, with my neck gear?
Yeah.
Yes. I was thinking about once upon a time when I was on holiday, I used to go and...
Stop it.
I used to go and sit outside somebody else's house, actually, and use their unsecured Wi-Fi. So that's, you know, wires needed there either, but you do need a car to sit in to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Don't do this at home, boys and girls.
No, don't.
That's exactly what I just said, and that's what I did, and it was dead easy.
I know, but you can't always do it in a lot of houses. It just doesn't work for some reason. And now I'm going to throw another one into the mix. And I wonder if Rachel's actually ever tried this. Have you ever checked the overboil when you buy a new kettle?
Oh, dear.
What's the overboil? How can you overboil if it cuts itself off?
Yes.
You know when it boils over?
No.
The other way around.
Come on, Rachel, have you never boiled over?
Oh, constantly. I'm actually half boiling over as we speak.
Yes.
Well.
When you buy, you can look at kettles, and you can actually get on the net, there's a lot of rating sites for when kettles overboil. And what it means is the water's boiling, and yet the automatic cutoff doesn't click in and turn the electricity
off. My kettle does that now, actually. Now I understand what you mean. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Yeah.
1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm a little bit fuzzy, but now I know what you mean. I look at the kettle, and it's boiling, and I think to myself, why are you not stopping now? Because it's bubble, and because it actually says that.
Yes.
What's called overboil.
That's called overboil. Now, Rachel.
And it's another really fascinating subject.
And when it's doing it, what else is it doing to your house?
It's making
sucking
it steamy.
All the electricity, and it's making all the walls drippy, like Amityville Horror, but
so
not
you're,
bleeding.
So with that, if you just check to make sure what the overboil status for kettle is when you buy a new one, you're actually, over the course of a year, going to save yourself a lot of money in electricity, because kettles use 2 and 3 kilowatts of power.
Do you know what? I'm in a very unique and lucky situation in that the house that I live in, all the electricity, et cetera, and internet access and everything is paid for by the company that Rob works for. So it can boil all day for all I care. But
that's not very eco-friendly.
But I see what you mean. It is not eco-friendly, and it would also make me look good in the eyes of the company that Rob works for if I save them some money. So I'm going to check that out.
There you go.
I would as well. Yeah.
Are you?
Thanks.
I'm going to check it out as well. Do you know how much it costs to run a light bulb now?
No, because you're going to tell us.
It costs around about 4 pence an hour to run a light bulb. And in my stately pile that I laughingly called home, right, there are in one room 20 light bulbs to try and get some light into it, because at the front of the house we have no windows, we have a blank wall. And really? So the only light that comes in, because it's old, that's the way it was built. And yeah, exactly, to avoid window tax. And so it costs us to light that room for an hour something like 40p.
Time to say goodbye, Rachel.
Goodbye, Rachel.
Time to say goodbye, Mark.
Goodbye, everybody.
Same to you, Lee.
Bye-bye, everybody.
See you soon. Take care. Bye-bye, everybody.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.